With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Is It Just Me, the podcast that likes to put the silly and the very trivial at the very top of your daily agenda. I'm one of your hosts, I'm James Williams, and as ever I'm joined by my lovely co-host Joe Elvin, and this week not just one very special guest, but two very special guests. First up, she is a writer and producer of incredible TV shows such as Secret Diary of a Call Girl and the truly brilliant Succession, that's Lucy Prebble. And the other is an old friend of mine and Joe's from way back in the 90s when she was a pop star. But these days, she is an uber successful, multi-award winning actress. Of course, it's the lovely Billie Piper. So it was brilliant to catch up with Billie and lovely to meet Lucy. And they came to tell us all about their fantastic new TV show, I Hate Susie, which starts on Sky Atlantic and Now TV this week. So yes, they told us all about that. And of course, we debated the usual hot topics, such as, is it ever sensible or wise to take a sexy selfie and send it on? And is it me who under lockdown has developed, well, I like to refer to it as obsessive compulsive decorating disorder? Is it just me that's developed that? Let us know. Yeah, I'm intrigued to know. Anyway, we had a lot of fun recording this show and we hope you enjoy it just as much.
Thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, let's get straight into it. We have had the luxury of watching your brilliant new TV show, I Hate Susie. But for those of our audience that haven't obviously seen it yet, how did the show come about? What can they expect from it?
Well, it's a show that Billie and I created together. It's about a woman called Susie Pickles, who is an actress and former child star, who has a terrible thing happen to her when she realizes one day that private photographs of herself on her phone have somehow been accessed and stolen and are online. And the show basically follows her journey for 8 episodes through coming to terms with this thing that happens to her, whilst also her basically having to face the truth about herself. And basically it's funny, dark, and probably just a little bit horrifying.
I think what I loved about it is the subject matter, it shouldn't be funny, but I honestly was like, it just the way it's played, that sort of, she's always teetering on this edge of like trying to stay in control in all of this chaos that's happening around her, and just everything about the way, like there's a toilet scene that is just, I've never seen anything like it on television before. I mean, did you just kind of make a pact to just go where no one has gone before?
That's exactly what we did. That's exactly what we did. We made a pact. We sat together and discussed, well, among many things, things that we haven't seen on shows before, things that we felt we possibly could never say or never dramatize, and those were often the things we went with. You know, they had to obviously fit in with the narrative, and you know, they're not just there to to shock. They're all sort of things that we've felt or discussed at some point. So it's not disingenuous, but we really relish that stuff.
How did you prepare the toilet scene, Billy? What preparation did you do?
Well, as a sufferer of IBS, among anyway. I know those feelings and instincts all too well. So I really love shooting that stuff. It's so funny. It's so funny to film. It's funny for everyone else. And it's quite out there. But
I mean, I've got to say, as somebody who, and regular listeners of the show know this, I reveal it a lot, I'm the kind of person that's mortified about buying a multi-pack of loo roll in the supermarket. I'm that prudish when it comes to this stuff.
Oh, really? I must have found COVID really hard.
I just didn't
That's all anybody was buying. Or maybe you felt more comfortable during COVID buying excessive loo rolls.
But there was nothing to be seen, was there, Billy? So all that embarrassment went away. But I was going to say, compliment to you both, that even I found that scene very funny. But the one thing I wanted to say was, it does feel like, in the last couple of years, we're getting, especially in female-driven TV shows, dramas and comedies, you know, we are getting a lot of pushing the envelope. It feels like we're getting these scenes that are so real. I mean, I'm talking about, like, you know, May I Destroy You in the period sex scene, obviously Fleabag. And I definitely feel like anyone who's a fan of those shows will definitely love I Hate Susie.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think so. They feel like they are of the same family somehow. And yet they're all obviously, you know, different in their own ways and unique. But I thought I May Destroy You was brilliant, and I thought there were some thematic things that, you know, I'm really interested in as well. And she's just a brilliant writer and a brilliant performer. So, you know, that's an amazing show. I think with I Hate Susie, we were kind of interested, not so much in pushing the envelope. I think it's more true to say that it's just that there have been some holes in what you've been watching for the last, to be honest,
your entire life, 50 years,
and longer in terms of who's been making art and who's been making literature. And so we've assumed for quite a long time that certain things are how things are done, but they might just be the way that mostly white, mostly men do things or perceive things or experience things, which is completely valid, but it's really, really overexposed comparatively.
Yeah.
So when you start watching stuff by someone who isn't that, or by people, you know, from different backgrounds, different gender, different races, you start to go, oh, it's less that an envelope's being pushed, maybe, and more that just some holes in your experience of life are being filled in terms of representation. And that can be really funny. It can be really upsetting. It can be really horrible. It could be any of those things.
Billy, one of the things I loved was the, because your character is a sci-fi television star. Mm. And I wonder how much of the scene where you go to the sci-fi convention is documentary based on your Doctor Who days.
Thank God, none of it. Except that I've been to a convention. I've never had that experience. It's always been quite a nice day out. Thankfully, it was fun to act. It would be a painful real life experience.
We also shot that actually at Comic Con, though, didn't we, Bill? Like, we did go to a proper convention to shoot.
Had our own Q&A set up within a London Comic Con with an audience and a host. It was brilliant.
And because obviously you both co-created this show, what is your kind of working dynamic like as a sort of duo when you came to sort of putting this together? How long did it take? I mean, how long ago did you start sort of seeding the actual germ of the idea, and then how long did it take to get to this point?
Lucy, is it four years in the making?
Yeah, I think so. I think the very first conversations we had, as in when we were just chatting about it theoretically and doing a show, was probably 4.5 years ago. And then it took quite a while, and then we started to come up with stuff more properly. And then what we did were, which I think was the most important bit, was we went into a room together and, you know, rented an office space basically to come up with and create ideas, put loads of stuff up on walls, characters, storyline possibilities. And from that point, then it was sort of only a year and a half. But before that, I did a lot of drafts. Bill, that first episode, I must have done 30 drafts of that first episode. It changed so much, didn't it, in the beginning?
Yeah, and I think it's worth saying that before we even continue, well, the show was something very different before you came up with the idea of the hack. Before the hack, it was really a more of a sort of friendship story about women in their late 20s, early 30s, and the rude awakening that brings. But that didn't sit quite right, and Lucy was looking for a sort of bigger theme to have those same discussions, but something, just something bigger, really. And that's how you like to work, isn't it, Lucy?
Yeah, I like a really big idea. I like big political themes, and you know, massive action. And so I needed to find the thing to hang it off, really, which we did when we thought about photos. But I also think, for anyone who doesn't know, Billy and I are very good friends and have been for many years. So we did a show together on television in our early 20s called Secret Diary of a Call Girl. We've worked in theatre together, did a play called The Effect, and we're sort of best mates. So this also
Of best mates.
I'm not sure.
Like, we're best mates.
Like, oh, do you guys need a moment to just discuss and define this and figure out where it is right now?
Yeah. Long post-production.
Well, I think this is the perfect moment. I think this is the perfect moment to go into our first Is It Just Me sort of, you know, thing to debate.
Okay,
this.
Yeah, good.
Is it just me that, I guess the classic thing is never work with, you know, keep business and pleasure quite separate. So I guess, is it just me that's ever so slightly fearful of working with a friend? And obviously you two are a shining example of how it can work brilliantly. But was that always the case, or were you more, because it's funny, but you said that because I know people who are now best friends, but they met together as work colleagues. And I remember it's that real weird transition where you go, oh, this is my work colleague. And you go, hang on a second, I'm your friend. I'm not just your work colleague. And even Joe and I have got that, because obviously we are now really good friends, but we started off working.
Oh, I was going to say, we're not friends anymore. We were some work friends. And now this is just a marriage of great inconvenience for this podcast.
Yeah. How is your marriage of inconvenience working, girls? Very well, by the looks of things.
Silence.
Yes. I mean, you're
don't rush into answer with enthusiasm. Yes.
No, I mean, I was terrified. I was much more cautious than Billy was. I mean, that's a general rule, really. I tend to be a bit more cautious than Billy. Billy's braver than me. And that's one of many things I love about her. She's quite inspiring in that way. Whereas I'm quite like, oh, what's going to go wrong? Let's think this through, you know. And my first reaction when we talked about it was a bit like, I'm not sure it's worth the risk of us. I mean, because
the classic Lucy risk assessment.
Oh my God, everything risk assessed immediately for me. Like everything from where I go to dinner to, yeah, who I marry. It's like all risk assessment. And I was like, this, you know, this could be really damaging to our friendship, which is one of the most important things in my life. So is it worth the risk? And Billy was absolutely quite rightly immediately like, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. We know each other better than anyone else in the world. Of course, we need to work together again and we need to do it now. And turns out, annoyingly as ever, she was right.
Well, if that's the only annoying thing about Billy, then you're sorted.
Oh, no.
There's got to be other things.
Okay, now really still. What is the annoying thing about each other that you find? That Billy's always right. At least that's basically the most.
No, I'm not always right. It is annoying to have someone constantly bombard you with stats and reasons why we shouldn't do the thing I want to do. That's really annoying because it gets in the way of me doing what I want to do.
I have these graphs, Billy, and the graphs are really well designed. And they
Lucy, are you that person that's always checking where your nearest exit is? Are you that kind of person?
Yeah, I am a bit. I am
like that.
Yeah, I like to sleep nearest the door. I like to know, I like to imagine, you know, if a saber-toothed tiger were to suddenly appear and come into a room, I like to know where I would, escape, how that would happen. I mean,
Can I give you Lucy's catchphrase?
Yes,
this totally sums Lucy up. Heads up. That's the thing. Just a heads up. Just a quick heads up. Heads up, guys.
We might have a little bit of difficulty coming up because, you know, there's issues with this, that, or the other. Just like a combination of negativity. What I'm going to say is bad, right? But I'm going to start in quite a sort of just friendly way, in quite a sort of like under the radar way, like, heads up, guys. Everyone's fired. Okay,
bye. But dating, that's quite amazing because all of that is so at odds with my caricature of a really creative person. And you clearly are a really creative person.
You see, that's really interesting to me. I remember I had an epiphany the moment. Have you ever read Tina Fey's autobiography?
Oh, God, it's my life mantra.
Absolutely. It changed everything for me when I read that. I had spent my whole life thinking the same thing, thinking, well, therefore I'm not an artist, I'm not a creative person because I'm cautious and I'm anxious by nature. And actually, truthfully, that thing of basically you have to sort of do an eight ball and stay up till 4 a.m. in order to be creative, which is, again, a faintly masculine idea or sort of Saturday Night Live idea of what it is to be funny or what it is to be creative, is a very particular model. It's a model of somebody who doesn't really want to take responsibility and dies when they're about 50. And when I read Tina Fey's book, I was like, that's the kind of creative I am, you know? There's this great line in it where she says, that, you know, she's the best in the world at turning a piece of good news into bad news, the quickest, you know, in terms of in the shortest amount of time. And I am a mistress of that. Like, nobody can do that faster than me.
But my motto that I've stolen from Tina Fey is say yes and you'll figure it out afterwards.
Which
sounds like much more like you, Billy.
I live my life.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works really well, and sometimes it's an absolute disaster. I think that's such a myth that creative people aren't neurotic or highly strung or anxious. I don't know a single creative person who isn't really quite highly anxious and also massively controlling. Also, I don't believe at all that you can create good work or really any work when you're completely wrecked. I think that's also another myth.
Yeah.
I think there is a lot of evidence that suggests otherwise. And my boyfriend, who's a musician, completely agrees with that. It's like, it's complete nonsense that you can write, a beautiful piece of work and be completely hammered for all. You may be able to do that once, but you certainly couldn't have a lifelong career of that behavior.
That's such depressing news.
I know, it's really boring.
I think it might be tied to our idea of being a bit of a genius. Like, I think people don't talk about how hard they work and how neurotic they are about, you know, number of drafts and working really hard, because it doesn't feel cool and it doesn't feel creative in the same way as, you know, I wrote an amazing, you know, song overnight when I was drunk. Like, that makes it seem like you're a bit of a genius. Whereas if you work really, really hard at something, that's sort of valued less culturally and it shouldn't
be. Yeah. But going back to the theme of like working with friends, how do you navigate critiquing each other?
Well, I don't really ever feel the urge to critique Lucy's work. I know that she knows how she wants to get. I know she's very sort of clear about how she wants to get somewhere, and if it's not there immediately, she'll work it out. Obviously, I'll have some, you know, suggestions and stuff, but I don't ever have this desire to critique her work. Sometimes I've not maybe criticized the way she's delivered some news, or just, you know,
heads up
stuff, or if something's come out in a way that I know to be impassioned, or and I've learned that even more during the process of making our show, but it can be received differently.
So maybe I've mentioned that a few times.
God, you're such a diplomat.
I was going to say, Billy should be a politician. That was so beautifully put.
I mean, yeah, what she means is, come over to me and she's like, you know what? That is presenting as anger. Like, what you're expressing is presenting massively as anger and you are upsetting people. And then I'm like,
And you're like, brilliant, job done. I wanted to present.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also think it's worth saying, or I can say myself, Lucy, you can choose to speak about this, although I've kind of exposed you now anyway. I've done a fair bit of therapy, and I think that's really helped every aspect of my life. But in most recent months, my professional life, it's been wildly effective, and has really helped my relationships with people on set, and just generally, you know, I think I've done a bit of work on myself in that respect.
And just being able to express yourself sort of like clearly,
just working out what is my issue and what is somebody else's issue, and just letting that sit a bit, you know, instead of, you know, I haven't mastered it by any means, but I'm certainly learning how to be more that way, and it's really quite effective.
Hmm. Yeah. And also, you know, I think if you have real respect for the other person's talent, like proper respect, not just that you say it, but that you think they're really good at what they do, which I do in terms of Billy, then it's not so much criticizing when you're working with them. It's actually just using the language that you both understand. Because there's no question to me that Billy's probably, I would say, the best actor I've ever worked with, right?
That's nice.
You are my favorite writer.
Aww. That ever lived ever.
I don't want to sound like just, you know,
I'm not the only person that says it. Just listen to us.
But are you good at taking compliments? Because I just think your performance in this is incredible. It's so, I don't know where you access that unhinged persona in such a watchable way. It's incredible.
You not hear a bit about therapy, Joe?
I know. I was going to say, I certainly know unhinged.
Was there an element of catharsis in this show? Because it feels like there are some elements. I guess, you know, you were obviously somebody who found fame very young, and obviously, as does this character. Did you manage to sort of, you know, channel little bit of autobiographical bits here and there into the, I mean, obviously the photo shoot scene really struck a chord with me, because obviously
I'm sure it did. Yeah,
I've been on
not with me.
We've all been on those photo shoots where, you know, people are trying to cajole the talent into doing things they really don't want to do, and I said, you've harnessed that look in that talent's eyes so perfectly in that episode where you're trying to be a real people pleaser, but at the same time you're screaming internally that you don't want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I certainly know those feelings, and yeah, I've experienced quite a bit of that energy on multiple sets. But I would like to say that I'm really glad to say that that there are so many things in that show that I really hope people don't think is autobiographical, because it is beyond. Yeah, it's way bigger than what I have dealt with myself. I would say that our experiences our feelings as women are informing a lot of the emotion within the show.
And I think definitely looking at you guys today, you clearly are a testament to how you can work with friends very successfully. So I think we've more or less answered, it's a perfectly great thing to do, to work with your mates. But do you also think, I think the creative world lends itself better to having friends work together? I just wondered if that was, because in the creative industry, it's a lot about generating ideas. And often I think you bounce off people you've got a natural chemistry with.
Oh, yeah.
If you were like in business for somebody in a more traditional way, maybe that's when it becomes more complex, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I have to say, I think if you have friends in this industry who you really respect creatively and also you get along with, I would kind of want to work with them for them on anything forever, because sometimes it's very, very different, and you sort of start to understand why a director casts the same actors with and keeps his producer and his casting director, because when that starts to work, that makes the work a completely different experience, and it's so much fun working with your mates.
This has got to be just, you know, one phase of a longevity partnership, right? You guys are partners.
You're the Amy Poehler to Lucy's Tina Fey.
Oh, what about that, Luce?
Yeah, I like that. Nobody really loses out there, do they?
A poster for the show. You're welcome to have that as the poster quote, if you like.
No, I think they're going to define their own Piper and Preble era.
Yeah. That's an amazingly flattering comparison. it's lovely. I think I've noticed a lot in comedy, though, that thing of working, you know, with friends, because also the other thing when you're creating something is you need to feel safe, actually. If you say something that's really, really stupid or even like offensive on some level, that you're around somebody who's going to go, yeah, not that, but maybe this, you know. And sometimes friendship is a very good way of having that safety. The downside of that is that you can sometimes see people working with their friends and only their friends, and actually things becoming quite cliquey, and there are ways in which this industry sometimes doesn't welcome people who aren't traditionally from inside it, and I think that does need to change. So I think it's you know, six of one, half dozen of the other.
Just a heads up to watch out for that.
Yeah.
While we move on to the next.
See, I brought it down, Billy. See, I brought it down.
Oh, God.
I want to move on to one of the other overarching themes of the of I Hate Susie is it just me? And I wonder if it's just because I think looking around this Zoom, I think I am the oldest lady here. The oldest person here. is it just me and my generation that I would rather die than take a naked selfie? It's just something I've never ever done. It's something that's never occurred to me to do. Does that just make me the saddest human alive, or is that normal for someone my age? Because I feel like it's so not normal for anyone under 30 not to do that anymore.
Well, I mean, so you've never there's taking one and sending it. Or there's just taking one. Are you saying you've never even taken one?
No.
Well, I think that's probably quite healthy. I think that's probably quite a healthy choice.
Or that, you know, I don't like looking at it, so why would I have it on my phone to reference for a future date? Why would I do that?
Fair enough. Lucy, have you taken naked pictures of yourself?
Of course I've taken naked pictures of myself.
See, this is like, I need the empowered, liberating female speech on this. Tell me.
But I've taken, yeah, go on, Lucy. No, you start. This is your area. Go on.
Not my area at all. what is annoying to me is the way in which I've aged at the same rate that camera quality has gone up.
Isn't that the worst?
It's really irritating to me, because early pictures, because I was an early adopter, obviously, like flip phone, you would take a picture of yourself and you would basically hardly see anything. It would be like blocky sort of, oh, is that a nipple? Is that this, like the other? It'd be quite exciting. And you would have sort of, you'd be holding it up, try and get it the right way up.
Now, like a magic eye picture.
Absolutely, yeah. Trying to make out the nakedness here.
Yeah.
And now, as I'm getting older, and maybe think, you know, it's less, you know, there are ways in which there are things that are slightly less flattering going on, and the cameras are just pinpoint accuracy, just show absolutely everything, and I'm not happy about it. It may be time to retire that.
With pinpoint accuracy and sharpness, there's also an amazing array of filters, I guess.
Good point. That's absolutely right. But that has its downside as well, because then when you're in person, you're nothing but a disappointment. And I think that's been the reality. That, you know, you don't want to be the person who turns up and is like, right, you're going to have to squint, mate, because it's not.
But I think that's true of the iPhone anyway. I think the smartphones they're not true to life at all. Even in a photo of your face as a selfie, or I find it to be very misleading.
And also, there's nothing worse. I think the sexy selfies basically come from modern dating, right? It's just the way people now seem to work. It's all part and parcel of, you know, you're dating in the modern world. And I guess, you know, Joe, you've been too happily married to Ross for too long to have to be out in the jungle.
Too happily married. Yeah, you should be a law against it.
How dare you be so happily married for such a long time? But, you know, but you're not out there in the jungle of dating where people are saying, send me a sexy picture. You
know, somebody sent me, and I don't know who this person is or what their deal is, someone sent me on Instagram the other day a big picture of their erection. And I didn't really know, what was I supposed to do with that? What do you think was the goal with that?
That's very aggressive. That's not good.
I've taken pictures of myself, naked pictures of myself, but I sort of do it as a check-in for me. I sort of go, how am I looking?
Do you still exist? Yes, I still.
How am I looking? What do I look like now? So I do it as sort of yeah, like just a sort of check-in with myself.
But the premise
I would never send one.
Yeah,
no,
because that's way too risky.
The premise of the show, I Hate Susie, is you know that to me is the one of the biggest modern nightmares to befall anybody. Is that public attempt at humiliating someone in that way? And I suppose that's what I'd be always afraid of.
Yeah, look, on a more serious note, it can get really, really ugly and very sad and very exposing for people and older people and younger people. And it's happening more and more, and it's abusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are laws that are, you know, supposed to protect people, but then rarely enforced.
I don't know what we've concluded there, except that I am the oldest person here.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
What's next?
It's just my last weird one. I'm just worried that I've developed a new kind of disorder during lockdown, which is obsessive compulsive decorating disorder, whereby I'm basically somebody that just feels the need. I'll just wake up one day and go, this room's boring, and just go and buy a pot of paint and paint it because I'm so bored and I've got too much time on my hands. And I just wondered if I'm alone in this weird new like thing that's basically taking over my life.
You're not alone. I too.
There's a bat coming.
Yes. No, I too have painted a number of rooms in lockdown, and actually, in a way, none of them are finished because I just haven't got round to finishing them. So there's like half painted rooms in all over the house. But I like it as a sort of meditative thing. I find it really stops me from mentally spinning out. I didn't realize it would have that effect on me, but it has. And now I'm sort of using it in that way. I'm using it to manage some of my thinking.
Well, I was very impressed that the minute we took, because we're doing this podcast via Zoom in this brave new world, and Billy immediately identified the wall colour on James's wall.
Yeah, stiff key blue.
Yeah.
My mum's used of stiff key blue over lockdown as well. And she's done the same thing as you. Well, because we're all painting everything the same colour now. We're not doing skirtings white and the walls, the colour. And it's now crazy to me. Look!
Back of the door, Billy, back of the door.
And the ceiling?
No, not quite. I didn't go that far.
Well, that's
because it's not an animal, Billy. Yeah.
No, it's a top decorating tip, though. If you do that, it makes the whole room look bigger, believe it or not, because it makes the walls look taller. Because if you paint the skirting boards white and the doors white and the radiators white, it kind of breaks it all up.
This colour on my wall, this Kelly Hoppen aubergine, is very 2005, because as my husband always points out, if I was left to my own devices, I would still have my student starter pine furniture. Very little interest in the graft associated with decorating. What about you, Lucy?
I could not agree more. I'm the other end. I'm afraid you're totally alone. I have no interest whatsoever. I could live in a completely undecorated space and not notice very, very quickly, and then have
people
be like, oh my God, I haven't even got any paintings up. Like, my ideal situation is to move into somewhere that someone else has completely and utterly decorated. I have no control or choice over any of it. And then I move somewhere else at a later point.
Lucy, can I just say, that's one hell of a games room setup you've got going on
there. Yeah. pool table.
I'm not even in my own house. This is somebody else's house. The extent
you've broken into someone's house
is I'm in someone else's house right now. Like, I've got no interest in it.
I love the way that it looks like you've got this sick game set up and that you're like into all of those food.
All of these games.
But she is a hardcore gamer, as in she...
Virtual environment.
Virtual. Totally.
I have spent so much time and money perfecting my apartment in Grand Theft Auto. That is level 10. But I'm sat there buying expensive sculpture for that in a hovel, basically. That is the experience of my life.
That's impressive.
I think it weirdly has, for me, it has a weird, like, there's something about a mundane activity that's quite therapeutic.
Just being able
to easily switch off and just forget what else is going on. I think that's what it is for me. And also,
James lives in isolation. I mean, I think he's doing sort of like lockdown solo activities all wrong, but then that's perhaps for another podcast.
What are you trying to say there, Joe?
Nothing at all. That, you know, yeah, but your house is absolutely gorgeous. It's probably the nicest house I know. But, yeah.
By the way, decorating is not a euphemism for anything else, by the way, if anyone...
I was going to say, wow.
Well, girls, I just wanted to say, I mean, I'm actually quite frustrated. I'm sure Joe shares this. Thank you very much for sharing the first two episodes of I Hate Susie, but I'm now literally gagging to know where it's going to go.
It's definitely everybody's new crack TV moment. It's really, really, congratulations. It's so... brilliantly toes the line between tense and hilarious. It's brilliant.
Thank you. That means a great deal. Thank you.
And thanks so much for joining us. And good luck with the show. Not that you need it. I think it's going to be a huge success. So it starts on Sky Atlantic the end of August. Is that right?
27. Also 27. On Now TV. That's important to say.
That's important, everybody. Now TV. Yeah.
Well, because some people don't have Sky, do they? So it's...
it's what? Important. Clutching my pearls right now. Yeah.
But yeah, you're in for a treat, everyone. Do check it out. So that's August 27th on Now and Sky Atlantic. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us. It's so lovely to see you both. And Billy, I just wanted to let you know, I still dine out on you. When people say to you, tell us two truths and one lie. And I always throw in, I went to Billy Piper's 16th, 17th and 18th birthday parties.
Oh,
and they always think it's a lie. It's
actually...
Did you go, Billy?
In body, but not in mind. Yeah.
well, Billy was made to by the record company because they turned her poor birthdays into a promo activity.
Oh, no, it's too tragic. Oh, I can't even
Bill, mate. We have to talk about this as soon as possible.
I feel like my 21st was not
emotional.
It was not a promotional event.
I didn't get invited to the 21st. How dare you?
Well, it was really good. It was at the Groucho, and it was just full of my friend. Not to say you're not welcome, James.
That's so weird.
We need to end this right now.
I'll invite you to my 40th, which is looming.
Yeah. It'll be a rock and roll party. I accept. No, honestly, thank you. It's lovely to see you. I'd love to meet you as well, Lucy. And like I said, good luck for the show.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. And thanks for listening.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.